Much grain now is falling ungathered, while many stand idle and wait. The harvest time soon will be ended, for garnering then 'tis too late. O soul, prove thy love to the Savior, for what he has done unto thee, by sending the tidings of mercy to lost ones o'er land and o'er sea. They perish, they perish, yet Jesus to save them has died. Go pay them the debt that we owe them, those souls who in darkness abide.
Good morning, friends. I'm sure glad to be coming your way once again with more on the message concerning talents. But let us first go back and get the scripture which we've been using concerning talents. Here it is. Then he that had received the 5 talents went and traded with the same, made them other 5 talents. Likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that had received 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. Matthew 25:16-18. And then on the last broadcast, I began to enumerate some of the talents which God gives. I spoke about the mind and how it could be trained. Now let us consider speech. The power of speech is a talent that should be diligently cultivated. Of all the gifts we've received from God, this is a very special one and is capable of proving a great blessing when used in the right way. With a voice we convince and persuade. With it we offer prayer and praise to God. And with it we tell others of the Redeemer's love. At least we should. We hope you're doing the same. How important, then, that it be so trained as to be most effective for good. Really, the development and right use of the voice is often neglected even by the saints. There are many who read or speak in so low or so rapid a manner that they cannot be readily understood. Some have a thick, indistinct utterance. Others speak in a high key and sharp, shrill tones that are painful to the hearing. Of course, I realize that each voice has its own quality, but it should be developed in such a way that it will provide a clear understanding to those who hear. If one is not easily understood, it would be difficult for them to get their point across to the hearers. Now, on this point, the Bible gives instructions. Of the Levites, who read the scriptures to the people in the days of Ezra, it is written, they read in the book, in the law of God, distinctly, and gave the sense, and caused them to understand the reading. Nehemiah 8:8. Then again, the Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 14 and verses 8 and 9 puts it this way, for if the trumpet give an uncertain sound, who shall prepare himself to the battle? So likewise ye, except ye utter by the tongue words easy to be understood, how shall it be known what is spoken? So in order for our words to be profitable, they must be understood. And speaking in this manner, one can be greatly used of the Lord. Every saint is called to make known to others the unsearchable riches of Christ. He should present the Word of God in a way that will commend it to the hearers. We should look to Jesus, the perfect pattern. We should seek for the assistance of the Holy Spirit. And in His strength, we should seek to train our lips and tongue to speak to the glory of God. Especially is this true of those who are called to public service. Every minister and every teacher should bear in mind that he is giving to the people a message that involves eternal interest. The truth spoken will judge them in the great day of final reckoning. With some souls, the manner of the one delivering the message will determine its reception or rejection. Then let the word be so spoken that it will have a positive meaning to the understanding and impress the hearts of those who hear. Isaiah 54 goes this way. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. Surely this is what we need the Lord to do for us. And then in Colossians 4:6, we find this instruction. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that ye may know how ye ought to answer every man. And then again in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. So let me tell you that words are important, and the manner in which they are spoken is also important. Words can either be a savor of life unto life, or of death unto death. We can either draw souls unto Christ, or we can drive them away from the truth. Even words of reproof should be spoken in love. So, don't forget the talent that you have of speech. Every family and every individual child of God has a solemn obligation to guard against corrupt speech. It is the work of parents to train their children against the use of slang words and improper speech. And oh, how prevalent these things are in the world today. And of course, this should begin right in the home. That is the training of these children. From the earliest years, the children should be taught to speak respectfully and lovingly to their parents and to one another. Let the parents themselves be daily learners in the school of wisdom. Then, by precept and example, they can teach their children the use of sound speech that cannot be condemned. I believe that we should look for opportunities to speak up for the Lord, not abruptly, but with divine wisdom and love. It is in this way that we make good use of our talent of speech. Now, there's another talent which all of us have, and that is influence. This is one which you might not think so much about. But remember, the life of Christ was an ever-widening shore of influence that bound him to God and to the whole human family. Then through Christ, God has invested man with an influence that makes it almost impossible for him to live to himself. It would indeed be difficult for a man to be independent of his fellow men. It is God's purpose that he should feel himself necessary to others' welfare and seek to promote their happiness. Don't forget this. Each person is surrounded by an atmosphere of his own, an atmosphere which may be charged with the life-giving power of faith, courage, and hope, and sweet with the fragrance of love. Or it may be heavy and chill with the gloom of discontent and selfishness, or poisonous with the deadly taints of cherished sin. But by this atmosphere surrounding us, those people who come in contact with us are affected, I would say, either for better or for worse. Now, dear ones, do you want people to be attracted to the Lord by your influence? Are you going to be soured on the world and on the gospel and on the truth and just show an unconcern for the things of God and this way drive people away from Him? So there is a responsibility for which we cannot free ourselves. Our words, our acts, our dress, our daily walk, and even the expression of our countenance has an influence. From this impression which others get, their life is also affected. Every impulse thus imparted is seed sown, which will produce its harvest. It is a link in the long chain of human events, extending we know not whither. It is by our example we aid others in the development of good principles. We give them power to do so. In their turn, they exert the same influence upon others, and they upon still others. Thus, by our unconscious influence, thousands may be blessed. Dear ones, What sort of an influence are you wielding for God? Throw a pebble into the lake, and a wave is formed, and another, and as they increase, the circle widens until it reaches the distant shore. So it is with our influence. It goes beyond our knowledge or control. It tells upon others, either in blessing or in cursing. But never should it be forgotten that influence is no less a power for evil. To lose one's own soul is a terrible thing, but to cause the loss of other souls is even more tragic. Many who profess to gather with Christ are scattering from Him by their influence. No doubt foolish, selfish indulgence and careless indifference on the part of some who profess to be saints are turning away many souls from the truth. Many there are who will be condemned before the judgment bar of God when they meet the results of their own influence. Dear ones, may we so live that our talent of influence will be a silent, unconscious, but mighty power in drawing others to the truth and not drive them away. Now, let me ask you this solemn question. What are you doing with your talent of speech and influence? Let us pray. Our Father, give us divine wisdom and understanding to speak as the oracles of God. Cause the words spoken on the broadcast to find their way into good and honest hearts. Bless each listener this day in the way which they need most, and to Thee we will give the praise through Christ our Lord. Amen. And now this song, I Love to Serve My Jesus. The singers are Manuel and Marie Mitchell and Francis Porter Defour.
I love to serve my Jesus, the privilege so sublime. My life afresh with beauty bright is sparkling all the time. Mid scenes that are unfading of rapture and of bliss, transported I am soaring in my Savior's righteousness. I love to serve my Jesus, He's all in all to me. He helps me bear each burden, victory. I love to serve my Jesus, the world I do.
Until we meet again, this is Willie Murphy saying, may God's richest blessing be with each and every one of you, and a very cheerful goodbye.
I know that it